You're listening to Culture Matters, a podcast of the Village Church. This is Adam Graffin. Graffin?
That's just a little freestyle for you.
Thought I'd improv on my name.
Adam Graffin. And I'm here to say I rock the mic in the coolest way.
This is Adam Griffin, and I'm here as usual with my co-host Adam Hawkins. Adam, how are you today?
What's good, man?
What's good is that today we are doing an episode, a conversation with our special guest Jackie Hill Perry. We'll be talking about music, culture, and hip-hop music. Adam, are you excited?
I'm really excited. I'm a big fan of Jackie's.
Good. And Jamal Clark will be joining us. Jamal is from I Am Too Talented, which is a ministry to teenagers that teaches them hip-hop and the gospel. Really looking forward to this episode. Let's get right to it. Hey, we're joined today by Jackie Hill Perry. Jackie is an artist, a writer, and she is a part of Humble Beast Records, where she is a hip-hop artist with them. Her work has been featured in places like Desiring God, The Washington Times, The Gospel Coalition, all kinds of notable places. She and her husband, Preston Perry, who also is a spoken word artist, they have a daughter named Eden, who's actually not feeling well today. Jackie, how are you doing? Are you doing okay?
I'm great. As long as I don't get her sickness, I'll be even better.
Good. We're also joined by Jamal Clark. Jamal is a local artist here in Dallas, and he runs a ministry called Too Talented. I am tootalented.com, to the number two. And that ministry is one that reaches out to mostly high school students and uses hip-hop as an art form to try to share the gospel with them. So, Jamal, how are you doing today, buddy?
Doing well.
Good. I'm glad to have you guys with us. Jackie, why don't you just start us off? For those who maybe don't know you at all, tell us a little bit of your story. Maybe how did you come to know the Lord as we kick off our conversation?
Yeah, I was kind of raised in church a little bit, not necessarily in my home, but I have some relatives that were believers that would take me to church. But I was still really indifferent to Jesus, not because I was offended, but because I just was cool on making somebody else Lord, you know what I'm saying? But when I was in high school or a little after high school, my convictions just started to increase when it came to just my sexuality, weed, alcoholism, if you want to call it that, or drunkenness, I'll say. I was just doing me for the most part. But then everything that I had learned about Jesus became very tangible, and it was no longer theoretical. And so I just felt like I didn't have the option to not repent. It was like a repentance and believing just kind of became impulsive when I saw Jesus rightly. And so since I was 19 now, I've had the Holy Ghost and been able to love the Lord well.
That's all.
As much as I can.
So before 19, were you an artist already before that? Was that coming out in you? Was that something has been lifelong, or is this something that came after you met the Lord?
Yeah, it became when I was a Christian. I didn't know I had gifts. I was just doing me. I didn't like poetry. I thought poetry was for people who, burned incense in their house. And that just wasn't my thing. I listened to music a whole lot, different kinds of music and stuff like that, but I never saw it being something that I would ever do.
So how did that start then for you? Is it something like, did becoming a Christian, did that shape a new view of art? Did it shape a new view of poetry? What was it for you that kind of sparked that realizing gifts? Did somebody point that out in you, or was it just experimenting with things?
Yeah, I think it's both. I feel like when you become a Christian, then God uses you. And so it's like, no, I've equipped you with these gifts, and so I need to let you know about these gifts so you can walk in these gifts and make disciples of all nations through these gifts. And so for me, I was at this community college that was just incredibly boring, and I felt like writing. Because I was always a good writer. I always got A's in English and stuff like that, but I didn't know that was like a potential gift given by God. You know what I'm saying? So I was in class, and I started writing about Jesus, and I posted it on Facebook. That was when people used to do the Facebook note thing. And then I got like a lot of affirmation. Yeah, that was like throwback. I got a lot of affirmation from that. And then my pastor, he heard my poetry. And so it was really the affirmation I got within the local church that made me want to do it. But I never wanted to do it full time. I never wanted to get paid. I didn't even see that. Like, that wasn't even my goal or trajectory. And that wasn't even a platform for that kind of work at the time. It was just, hey, my church likes it, so I'm going to do it on Easter.
I love that. Pastor
appreciation days and stuff like that.
That's great. So, like, the people of God kind of drew it out of you. Jamal, is your story similar to that? Like, were you artist before you met the Lord in high school?
It was shortly before I met the Lord. It was probably about a year and a half before I became a Christian. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that you guys are both Christians, both artists, can you explain to me, like, why do you create? What is the drive to do it? I assume it's not just because, like, hey, this is the business. I got to sit down and create. Hopefully there's some joy in what you do. Jack, I don't know, because honestly, you and I don't know each other, but you should know I am not an artist. I am not super creative. I don't have a drive to create. I've never been commended on my poetry publicly. I don't think that's happened yet, although maybe this is it. Maybe this is the turning the corner. So speak to me or the young artist right now. Why do you create? What drives you?
I feel like my immediate motivation started when I came out with the poem that kind of started my career, if you want to call it that, which was a poem about my testimony coming out of lesbianism. And I just started to receive all of these messages from people who did not go to church, who were not fans of Christians, who were kind of cynical towards Jesus, but who wanted him now because they had heard the gospel through my poem. So for me, it felt like, man, if God has given me this gift and it has a way of reaching people that a sermon can't, then how can I not say I'm not going to do it? So I create for that reason. I create because, man, I know, like, this is, like, another means for the gospel to get out there and change people's hearts.
Jackie,
and I like it, but that's not it. If I just liked it, I wouldn't do it. It's just too much work for that.
I was wondering, Jackie, when you wrote that poem, because that's actually, I'm pretty sure, was there a video of that went viral?
Sort of viral as we know it back in 2000.
Like 2000. Yeah, 2008. Yeah, I remember seeing that video, and it was, that poem is so powerful. Did you know it was going to lead to something like that? Did you have inklings of that, or was it just more like?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
The pastor of the church was like, hey, you should do your testimony in a poem. I'm like, cool. And we're going to put those. Great. This was good. I really had no idea.
Wow.
So now you make hip hop music. Can you tell us a little bit about what is your draw to that particular genre? What do you love about hip hop? What freedoms does it allow you, or what do you enjoy about that genre? Maybe Jamal, you can jump in on that too here. But Jackie, what is that for you?
I like music. I enjoy music, and I think the difference. I think poetry is harder, to be honest with you, but I think the art form of rap allows me to do things that I can't do poetically, because I've never been a fan of people saying that it's the same thing. It's definitely not the same thing. But I've seen where music can go into places that poetry can't. And so I just don't see people listening to a poetry album for 6 hours. That's not going to happen. They're not going to be downloading Spotify poetry album.
You just offended some sweet, sweet old lady somewhere.
I'm sure there's a small minority, but that's the exception.
Yeah.
But there is always music playing in cars. There is always music. There's always music playing in hotel lobbies or whatever the case may be. And so I think music, people just have access to it in a way, and they want it in a way that to me is just like, man, this is another means, again, to point people towards Jesus and to help people to see the Bible in just different ways and different creative avenues. So for me, it's fun. It's a hobby more than anything. I don't plan to rap for a long time. I just kind of do it. I don't even do it at concerts. I just kind of put the music out there, but it's fun.
That's great. How about that for you, Jamal? What do you love about hip-hop?
Man, I love hip-hop just because of the culture. Man, just like being a part of the culture, there is such a unique way of dress, a way of talk. Obviously, the music of hip hop, and it's really inclusive as well. So, like, when you're involved in hip hop culture, like, it feels like a family. You know what I'm saying? And like, what I love about about doing hip hop and being, you know, Christian hip hop artist is that when you're around other people, there's just like this common language, this common culture that when you're around other people who understand the language, understand the culture and dress the same way, it's like, man, like we understand each other. We're like part of the same family, same culture. So,
okay. So when you guys interact with people, and I know these people exist, maybe particularly within the church, and they just do not understand or do not like hip hop. Like, what do you say to that person? Is there a I do feel like there's misconceptions, but there's also just, it's a preference, right? People like different kinds of music. What do you say? Like, is it just okay to each his own? Or have you gone through the, like, let me convince you why this is a worthwhile pursuit?
I don't have as many interactions with that, maybe because my context loves the music.
Yeah.
But I think if I were, I think I would ask questions. I wouldn't assume, because there is a preference thing. I don't like country, and I don't really think there is much that anybody could do to convince me to like country. But I think the difference is I just don't like the sound.
Yeah.
But I don't assume upon like the evil, wicked motives of the reason why the sound is that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that the church has done, is because they assume that because hip hop has some weird, unbiblical, secular origins, that is an inclusive thing, as if hip hop in and of itself is not redeemable. When we all got Apple MacBooks, and we're all wearing jeans and pants and going to Forever 21. It's like and nothing is inherently sinful except us.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Well, so music, one of the things I love about music, so my wife absolutely loves hip hop, right? Like she feels like one of her spiritual gifts is being able to rap just about any song that she listens to with great accuracy and cut out all the cuss words she has to in order to do so. I love hip hop music as well. One of the things I love about music is that it brings people together, people from different backgrounds, and you might be surprised by who likes what. You might be surprised by who likes country music, who likes hip hop music. It brings a real clear diversity to the church when we talk about preferences. Do you feel like hip hop is something that can break down walls for the church, that can bring diversity to a church, that maybe music in general, how does it bring people together? How does it unify people?
I think Jamal would be a great person for that answer.
Jamal, what do you think, question? Man?
You go to a Lecrae concert, KB concert, whoever. I mean, like a lot of the kids that are going to be white.
Yeah.
Going to be a lot of, you know, little white kids. But it's going to be a diverse crowd as well. So I think hip-hop often, I mean, even like you pull up to a light, you know, one time, mm-hmm. and, you know, you look over, you hear like bass bumping, you hear like a hip-hop song. If
and
you look
driving?
Over, it may be like this country white dude, you know? Like that happens often. So
yeah,
I feel like often just the genre, I mean, it's one of the most popular music genres. So I think it unifies people because a diverse amount of people like the music. So I think people come together just because there's different types of people who like hip hop.
There's also something interesting I think that's happening, especially with Christian hip hop, if you want to term it that. I know it's, I don't know if you guys bristle against sort of the designations.
It's
like
an ongoing conversation.
No.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. It is interesting because like it maybe in the Christian rock world or whatever, there are people who might bristle against that. But for the most part, it seems right now, especially with hip hop, there are really like there's space for the Christian artist in even in the mainstream hip hop community. Like Lecrae's an example, right? There's people making inroads. There's people listening to Lecrae. There's people listening to other Christian hip hop artists who may not be Christians or go to church or you know any of that.
But thematically, you can talk about Christianity in a way. There's freedom there.
There's freedom there. Yeah. I think there's like, as far as outreach, you know, Jamal, with what you're doing, I think it's just a really interesting time. I don't know that same thing is true about like CCM, contemporary Christian, you know, rock artists. I don't know that they have a large following of non-Christians, but there's something interesting about hip hop right now where that seems to be happening. So like what what you were saying a minute ago, just about people always having it in their cars, people mm-hmm. always, there's something about Christian hip hop right now that is just, there's an opportunity there and God's doing something. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Jamal and Jackie, do you see that? Are you guys resonating with what I'm saying there? Or?
Yeah, I think technically hip hop is pop music now.
Yeah,
it is,
you're right.
The popular music of our day.
That's right.
And so I think I really think that's just an outworking of that. I still think that and Christian music, Christian hip hop music is better. And I mean, you got some people that, you know, in the early 90s, I wasn't a Christian yet, so I definitely didn't listen to it. But there's some people in the early 90s that would argue with me. Yet at the same time, I do think production is better. I think quality is better. Yep. And I think the music is a lot more honest.
Yep.
And so I think people who are unbelievers are willing to listen to Christians if Christians are real about what it means to be human. And I think we do see just kind of a rising in vulnerability in music from the Christian spectrum.
That's good.
Which
let me follow up on that. So most of your art is explicitly Christian. But can you talk us through, like, is that a conscious choice where you're going, like, if I'm going to make art, it's going to be for this reason? Or is it because that just happens to be the overflow of your heart and what you're creating? Or, and how do you speak to the artist who is a Christian that maybe is creating things that aren't explicitly Christian? What would you say to that person?
Yeah, that's just me. I think one of my spiritual giftings is teaching. And so my bend is Bible. And that's not to say that other people's bend isn't Bible, but mine is more, no, how can I affirm, how can I equip, how can I edify? And I feel like the best means to do that is with Scripture and with Jesus and with gospel. And so that's just kind of what comes out of me. Because to me, it feels like a waste of my time to talk about something that does not profit people in eternity. It just feels like, what am I doing? I could be at home watching Fixer Upper right now. Instead of, you know what I mean? Like, I'm taking time out of my day to write these raps. And so if I'm going to write these raps, I want it to be something that echoes out into somebody's lifestyle.
I love that.
And so that's just me. But I do think there is a place for Christian artists to be artists that are Christian. And that's fine. I just think it gets weird and it gets sticky because, I mean, you can apply that to plumbers. You can apply that to teachers. You can apply that to truck drivers. They don't have a fish sticker on their truck. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't make any less a Christian. But I do feel that there is a wisdom that needs to be involved when your art form is a talking art form or a communication
art form. That's a great point.
Yeah, I think there's a heavier weight on what you choose to communicate and how you choose to communicate it because our words matter. So that's, I don't know.
And I think for me, I see myself as an explicitly Christian artist. That's because, like, same as Jackie, it's like, man, the overflow of my heart, like, right now, is like, man, I just want to, you know, I want to share about the Bible. I want to share about Jesus. I want to share about the gospel. Like, the gospel is what I want to communicate in my music. But I do think that someone like a Lecrae or any other artist is like, man, I want to bring shalom into the hip hop culture by making a song about fatherhood or making a song about being a husband or making a song about, you know, saying like how being broke has, you know, given me character, you know. That was one of the songs on Lecrae's album. Like, I think there's room for that as well.
Yeah.
Where you can preach the gospel in your music. I think both are needed to impact culture. Because the other thing is, too, is like when you look at hip hop culture, a lot of the music is dark. And if we're only making music in our subgenre and not bringing light to that place, that dark place, then I think there's a lack of Christian presence and shalom that's being brought into that sphere as well.
That's good. Well, let's turn the corner a little bit. A lot of the people who will listen to this podcast are pastors, are people that lead in churches. Let's think about this for just a second. If you guys could give advice to a local church about ways that they could better empower artists, which I love that, Jackie, this is your story. Somebody saw gifts in you and they kind of fanned them into flame, said, hey, use that to serve the church, to serve the body. What are ways that you could advise a local church to say, think about this as you're thinking about empowering artists? What do you think, Jackie?
Oh, man, that's hard. I think one mistake I see in artists is that they believe that is their ultimate call, is to be an artist. You know what I'm saying? And so I think there's danger in not shepherding an artist to know that your ultimate call is to be a steward of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's good.
And to be disciple-making. And what are the gifts, the spiritual giftings even, that God is giving? Because being a painter or being a poet is not a spiritual gift. It's a talent. And so what is the spiritual giftings that God is giving you to equip the church? Let me establish that. Let me give you a firm foundation. And then as we move to you being an artist, I think it gives the artist a right perspective on how they are to walk into their art, how they're to have to not place identity in their art as well, and to just have a humble view of how to use it. And so I think be honest with them. you know, because there's some people out here trying to be artists when they need to just be teachers. I think the pastor needs to be firm enough to say, well, I don't know if you're called to that, per se. And you know if someone is good or not. They may not be great, but you can sense if they're good. And be able to gently honest. Direct them in the... Yeah, be honest, but also be affirming in other places that you see God using them. And so, I don't know, just be discerning.
I love that. That's actually really, really helpful. One of the things I love about music, and this is not just hip-hop music, but a lot of the opportunities we have in music and in poetry and in art, and this is something you talked about earlier, Jackie, in the responsibility of kind of shepherding an art form that revolves around your words. What does that mean for you, for a person who walks in the gospel? Let's talk for just a minute about how this art form, or art forms in general, can be leveraged as a means for addressing cultural issues. And this is something that I feel like I see Christian artists, particularly hip-hop artists maybe, really try to do this and say, this is what's going on. Let me help shape a perspective, or let me help give you a view into a world that maybe you don't understand. And let me use my art form to try to tell a story or to be part of the narrative. But how do you think we can leverage hip-hop music or art to address cultural issues? And is that something that is important to you as you're creating?
Absolutely. I think the Bible addresses cultural issues and justice issues and taking care of the widows and stuff like that. And so I think for me as an artist, I talk about what I care about. I care about Jesus and I care about people. And in me caring about people, I care about what the justice system is doing to people. And so that comes out in what I write. And I think for me also, knowing that I have the ear musically or poetically, I have the ear of people who probably won't read The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. Or I have the ear of people who probably won't watch 13th by Ava DuVernay. They probably won't even allow themselves to be exposed to things that will open their minds to a perspective that they're not used to. And so for me, I take advantage of that, knowing that, oh, you popped on this tape thinking you was just going to hear the gospel and not see the gospel in every other... You get what I'm saying? Like, oh, you just thought I was going to talk about the resurrection and not how the resurrection should change how we love people on this earth. And so, I think if it's in your heart, it will come out in your artwork.
Jamal, I'm interested in how you'd answer that too.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, if you look at even just the history of hip-hop, I mean, looking at the history of hip-hop, it was kind of an outcry of the oppression that was happening in inner city communities, like specifically in New York and in Bronx. You think about, you know, saying like the song The Breaks, you know what I'm saying? Like that whole song like is talking about, you know what I'm saying, different like broken things that's going on, you know what I'm saying, in this neighborhood. So I think as hip-hop artists, I think we have, I mean, really like a responsibility to speak into culture. And I think there's a lot of people who are doing that well. Like I think Jack is doing that well. I think Sho is doing that well. Even if you think about Kendrick, does that. I mean,
you say Sho, you mean Sho Baraka?
Yeah, Sho Baraka. Okay. But yeah, I mean, if you look at Kendrick, you think of, you know, To Pimp a Butterfly. You think of, you know, saying his latest album. I'm not gonna say the title, but if you think of his, his latest album. I mean Chance. I mean, so many artists are speaking in the culture, and I think we definitely shape a lot of people's worldview in sharing our thoughts.
Yeah, so and the sense I get is that the reason that some of this music becomes popular is that because it is meaningful, that it's not just it's not just the rhythm that we enjoy, it's not just the lyrics that it's the meaning behind it, to say either because you guys are artists, you are able to say something that I already feel and believe and now I resonate with it because you said it better than I could have, or you helped me understand a perspective about a cultural issue that I did not have until I hear you say it. And so the kind of work that you guys do as artists, or as you're trying to, Jamal, you're trying to raise up in young men intentionally saying, let me help you, train you in this art form to share the gospel this way, that this is important to our culture. So our podcast show is about Culture Matters, and here we're talking about how do you influence culture and shape culture. Music is a really essential way to do it, but really is a bigger picture art. And to your point, Jackie, art that uses words, the responsibility of the Christian, this is a big deal. It's not waste time doing something else. Is there anything that, Jackie, you're working on right now that, man, what's the current project? What's the current cultural issue? Or what's the current thing that's on your mind that you're like, this is what I'm trying to create around right now? And if you want to just let it loose on here, you just want to start freestyling, just go ahead.
I'm not good at that. I try not to create with right now in mind. I try to create with right now and the next 5, 10, 15 years. Because you want to create things that are lasting.
Yeah, timeless.
For the most part. And so I'm creating, if that's the word for it, I'm working on my book, which will be out in summer 2018, which will be just talking about my story, but kind of instructional about all things sexuality. Well, not all things, but sexuality and really how they relate to the gospel and how the Lord Jesus has made a way to redeem our sexuality and just help us work through that.
Does that have a title?
In early 2018. It is. I just can't let you know about it.
Okay. That's fine. That's awesome.
It'll be out there in the world, though, when they let me know.
So, when I'm allowed to find out. Okay,
exactly.
That's awesome.
Early 2018 will be my book. And so this year has just been me doing both of those at the same time.
Well, awesome. Well, Jackie, I hope that you keep creating and I hope that you keep pouring into people the way you have. And I really hope that you continue to see that the church is someplace that's encouraging for you as an artist that recognizes the talent that you have and the gift it is to the body. It's certainly a gift to us. So thank you so much for the time you've given us today. And we pray that the Lord just continues to bless your efforts in that direction.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Jackie.
Appreciate it.
And Jamal, thanks for being with us today too, man. Thank
for
you so much.
For sure.
Thanks for giving us your insight and thanks for all the work you do with young people in our community to see, man, the gospel shared and men prepared for what's next. Thanks, Jamal. Thanks for being
Definitely.
Here. Okay. If there's anything you heard on the show that you'd like to know more about, you can find details on our website at tbcresources.net. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. It was produced by David Roark, sound engineering by Chris Sterrett, the man who records everything and plays back only the most embarrassing things we say in the studio. On our next episode, we're going to be talking about movies, and we'll probably even nerd out a little bit about the new Star Wars episode that drops.
That's not Chewbacca.
Is that what that was?
No, for a second,
I was terrified. It came out of nowhere. All right, well, we'll see you next time. God bless.